Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, November 5th. I'm Abby Larico. In the path of devastation of the May 16th tornado were the homes and offices of hundreds of people associated with the St. Louis city and county legal systems.
You now have some people who are figuring, am I going to deal with this legal situation or am I going to deal with trying to get my family safe?
Though the court buildings themselves weren't damaged, STLPR's Rachel Littman has a look at how there's still recovery work to be done in the local justice system. That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The city of St. Louis hopes to gain more insight from businesses into what financial aid is needed in tornado-impacted neighborhoods in North City. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports that a new wave of surveys seeks to identify funding gaps.
6 months after the tornado, the St. Louis Development Corporation is asking tornado-impacted businesses for an update. That's in an effort to identify what types of grant funding or other help the city can offer to support recovery. A previous survey sent out in the days following the EF3 tornado found more than 216 businesses reported severe damage. Russell Holliday's firm was hired to aid SLDC in helping businesses recover. He says the city needs to identify where aid is needed.
The ultimate thing that we're trying to discover is where can the city potentially help with that funding gap.
Holliday says town hall meetings will follow as SLDC tries to aid recovering businesses. The survey can be found on SLDC's website. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of St. Louis plans to give pay raises to most of its workers next year. Mayor Kara Spencer announced yesterday her plans to implement some of the recommendations in a pay study done by a Florida-based consulting group. It found that almost all city employees made less than their peers in the private and public sector. The problem is especially bad for entry-level workers. About 600 employees will have their salaries boosted to the minimum of the market range. Spencer says that will be the most helpful for departments like forestry and streets.
We've really struggled to attract talent in some key departments, some service delivery departments, and that's where this is really going to have the biggest impact.
All other employees will get a one-time boost on top of their merit raises. The city will also increase the entire pay matrix for the St. Louis Fire Department. The St. Louis County Council voted last night that it has no confidence in Public Health Director Dr. Kanika Cunningham's leadership of the county animal shelter. That's despite questions about the report leading to that vote. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell is following this.
In response to a report from the council's ethics committee detailing alleged examples of mismanagement at the shelter, members voted 6-1 to approve a resolution that makes several recommendations for its management. One was to declare no confidence in Cunningham's leadership of the facility. Councilwoman Lisa Clancy was the only member to vote no. She says the report, written by Ethics Committee Chair Michael Archer, was sloppy and editorialized.
I do have serious concerns about relying on it as the basis for a no confidence vote. The report includes important testimony, but it also has significant limitations.
Cunningham said in a statement that the report contains numerous inaccuracies. The Department of Public Health did not respond when asked to give examples. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Several U.S. senators are criticizing Boeing for the company's use of replacement workers amid an ongoing worker strike. The Missouri Independent reports Tammy Duckworth of Illinois is among the five Democratic senators who say the plan to use fill-in employees to complete fighter jet projects could put the nation's military at risk. A letter the senators sent to Boeing leadership yesterday said the company is, quote, unnecessarily endangering our warfighters by insisting on proceeding with an untrained and hastily recruited workforce. Republican Senator from Missouri Josh Hawley also sent a letter to Boeing CEO Tuesday, calling on the company that receives billions in government contracts to negotiate in good faith with striking workers and, quote, do the right thing. More than 3,200 members of the local machinists union have been on strike at Boeing facilities in St. Louis, St. Charles, and Muskoka for 3 months now. Missouri scientists are testing out a new way to count waterfowl as part of resource management and conservation efforts, and it's not a bird or a plane. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on how drones were put to use in the recent study on ducks.
The Missouri Department of Conservation does weekly surveys of waterfowl across the state. Staff do that from the ground and sometimes from airplanes. A new study took photos of waterfowl with drones and used AI to count the birds in the image. Yi Xiong is a computer science professor at the University of Missouri. Xiong says right now, MDC doesn't have the manpower to count ducks in photos they take from planes.
If you just look at the one picture from the drone, you only see those small dots. You have to zoom in, so this is a very tedious and time-consuming process.
The new system could correctly identify waterfowl at up to 95% accuracy. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Now that's what I call quack science. The May 16th tornado left court buildings in the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County untouched, but hundreds of people associated with the criminal legal system, we're talking attorneys, defendants, judges, court personnel, they suffered damage to their homes or offices. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports on how they've been moving forward since the storm.
It was around 2:45 p.m. on May 16th when emergency alerts began blaring from the phones of defense attorney Gerald Christmas and colleagues at his law firm in the city's West End neighborhood. Most people kept working. Christmas happened to glance out of the window.
And I could see the trash spinning around in a funnel, and I was like, oh, we're in a tornado for real.
When the storm passed, Christmas headed out to check on a family home about 3 miles away. It was still standing, but it suffered serious damage. He knew it was going to take a few days to sort everything out. So Christmas immediately started reaching out to prosecutors and judges to reschedule his cases.
Fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of people were having issues that they had to deal with. So the court was very understanding of that.
Despite the devastation, none of Christmas's clients were affected by the storm in a way that caused problems for their court cases. But the same could not be said for hundreds of other defendants. William Newsom was the operations director at the Bail Project until September. It helps individuals facing low-level criminal and municipal charges in St. Louis County bond out of jail and get connected to social services. The storm touched the lives of a number of the agency's clients. One, Newsom says, had to choose between moving from a storm-damaged home and paying for his required GPS monitoring.
You now have some people who are figuring, am I going to deal with this legal situation or am I going to deal with trying to get my family safe? And a lot of them like are choosing to be stable in their living conditions and kind of throw away, and I hate to say it that way, throw away their legal side of things.
But those choices can put someone in violation of their pretrial release or probation requirements, and that can lead to a judge issuing an arrest warrant. Newsom says judges in St. Louis County were lenient about warrants. In the city of St. Louis, things were mixed, says lead public defender Matthew Mahaffey. While some judges were willing to hear why a defendant had missed curfew or not charged a GPS device, others immediately issued a violation,
which puts them either in warrant status or on notice that they need to come in. So it wasn't a universal approach, but it did create problems for clients when they couldn't comply and we were unable to get a hold of them.
Mahaffey and his public defender colleagues worked to get clients who were picked up on those warrants back out of jail, but it was far from easy.
They're now behind the people that were also trying to get out that maybe had been incarcerated before the tornado and we thought we had plans for, but then service providers are getting hit not just by the physical reality of the tornado, but by the increased need.
For others, past convictions made recovery from the storm harder. The tornado caused serious damage to the house Lachey Wallace shared with her teenage daughter and others in the Greaterville neighborhood.
Our roof was pretty gone. We had a lot of water damage, clothes runt, TVs, furniture. We knew that day that we wasn't going to be able to go back.
Wallace sent her daughter to live with friends while she stayed in shelters and tried to find a place to rent. But Wallace has two nonviolent felonies on her record from more than a decade ago. That makes finding housing tricky, even in the best of times. It took until July to find a landlord who was willing to rent to her and secure the money needed for the move. The moment she found the apartment in the Garavoy Park neighborhood was amazing.
I'm comfortable here and we like our neighbors and it's quiet.
She and her daughter still need some furniture, but Wallace says it feels like a place they can call home for a while. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.